I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Better Call Saul.
In the order that it was broadcast.
Forward Call Saul.
Just a podcast. Podcast. This is a podcast.
Podcast. Okay, I'm recording now.
Okay. Welcome.
Man. Welcome.
That one. Hit hard. That episode of television.
Rock and a Hard Place.
Oh, yeah, and it's also called Rock and a Hard Place.
And also, just going right in, unexpectedly, the cold open, a flash forward. Didn't anticipate that.
That's true. They haven't done
to figure it out that it was one by the end.
They hadn't gone to that well in a while.
Yeah.
I was watching this. I was watching this with my girlfriend, and I was just, like, very excited because I was like, man, I have no idea what this means, but this is the only time I'll ever watch this episode and have no idea what this means, and that feels very special.
So, like, you can teleparty live television?
You can teleparty Amazon, and we were watching it on my AMC Plus with Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, my DVR fucked up, but I found out that you can just go to AMC.com and you can log in with your DirecTV account and watch it.
Yeah.
So figured it out.
So yeah, so we got it watched.
We figured out the odds and ends.
I watched it a second time today.
Did you? Mm-hmm. I have a really strong opinion about one thing that is probably of zero. No, that you don't know that is of zero consequence to the plot of the show, but it just is really irking me. But we can get to that in good
We
time.
Disagreed about another thing earlier, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, that's different. But this was a. I will say too. Believe it or not, I'm sorry, I peaked just a little there in life and on the audio. Apparently, Entertainment Weekly on Sunday morning
I heard about this.
Posted a story that said something to the effect of that Better Call Saul, episode 3, contains a very prominent death and it is a heartbreaker, and everybody lost their mind.
I'm so glad I missed that.
You know, a friend of mine said, don't go on the internet right now.
Yeah.
Like, don't. Even for a second, and I said, "Okay, that sounds fine."
Guys, if Nacho dies, I don't know if you all knew that, but if your kink is just listening to podcasts about shows with no intention of watching those shows, Nacho
as
died.
They're actively airing,
yeah. And also, who are you? And like, can we get your digits? Because that you seem like interesting.
We have questions, and mm-hmm. just find you fascinating. Merely on the concept that you might exist. So please.
Why do we turn you on so much? You don't even watch the show.
And like, which one of our voices do you like better? Mm-hmm. Because that, you know, is important one way or the other. I'm not even sure if it'd be better to be the one that they like better or, you know, I don't know.
I want to be the one they like better.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to be the one they like better.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to make them horny.
Actually, I can say my parents were like, they said to me, you don't have a very good voice for podcasts, but they like your voice.
Nice. So. I don't like my voice. That's good. I don't think anyone likes their voice.
I don't mind my voice. I guess,
I like your voice.
Shucks. Thanks.
I like the voice that I hear that no one else has ever heard.
In your head?
Yeah, the one that the way I sound like to me.
I feel like I have constant puberty. When I listen even back to this, I always feel like my voice is cracking, and I don't know.
You're because you're a pirate? Oh, I thought you said your voice was cracking. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Because I'm a deep sea squid large.
Meg's not a deep sea squid. What? And then you said cracking. Okay. Okay. Guys, so this was just top line. Early in the season for Nacho to die. I think that's what everyone's taken away from this.
You know, it's so, I guess, like, we could, my point on all of it now is, no, it's jumping too far into the future.
You can jump it far. I mean,
the reason why, when I texted you that there was no suspense in the final scene for me, was because it didn't make sense for, it seemed like this character, like you had pointed out, was resigned to die for a while now, and that there was no logical way to keep him alive past this season. And so in the moment where he's got like four or five different guns trained on him, he's got a cartel boss right next to him, and he's told he's gonna die today, And there's a sniper with a gun trained on him as well to keep him out of misery. It didn't make sense that he'd somehow escape only to die a couple episodes later. It seemed like it would just hit less hard, you know?
If he would have escaped, and I think a lesser show would have had him escape, because they're like, nah, the audience likes him. If he would have escaped, then I'd be like, oh, Nacho doesn't die. Nacho makes it out of this show alive.
Yeah.
The more I thought about it, I don't think the reason I liked that final scene so much was because it was suspenseful. I think it just, it did dread really well. It filled me with dread. Like, it kind of reminded me, like, one of my favorite movies growing up was The Green Mile. And at the end of that, have you seen The Green Mile?
I mean, I know what happens at the end.
What happens at the end of The Green Mile?
I think I feel like I've seen it. I think, you know, he's accused wrongfully for murdering somebody. He, like, saves a little girl, but he still gets put in to the electric chair. Is that correct?
No. At the end, they have a pie party.
Of course.
Everyone eats a bunch of pie. Okay. No, at the, so at the, you know he's gonna die, and there's, like, a long, and he's, like, it's, he's resigned to it, and it's just very, very sad, but there's no suspense, it's just dread, and and I think if there was any suspense, what it came from, for me, and I don't think I'm in the minority here, because obviously, I'm a freak, and when I watch one of these, I, like, go online and read what everyone's saying. The suspense is Nacho gonna go along with Gus's plan? He could throw Gus under the bus. You'd have to do some clever writing to make that work with Breaking Bad, because him and Bolsa are on okay terms at the beginning of that.
And there's nobody trying to kill him.
Yeah. So you'd have to, like, there'd be some stuff you gotta do. Like, he'd have to eventually, like, clear his name with them.
Yeah.
But you could do it. And I just didn't want to see him get, like, tortured. And the fact that he took control of the situation and went out on his own terms, I thought was very satisfying and very hard to watch, and that's why I liked it so much.
It definitely justified how much Nacho we got episode 1 and 2 and 3.
Like, for sure. Yeah, I was thinking that too,
because generally he's not the majority of the show, obviously, because he's not, like, a character. I'm not saying this, like, we like Nacho, we're pro Nacho group here, Nacho. But
no, yeah,
you know, we tune in for your Jimmy McGills, your Saul Goodmans,
your Michaels, Ehrman's, Trouts.
Yes.
That's actually, if I had one gripe with this show, it's that they kind of did it again this season, set up that Nacho's role is going to be bigger, and then he's just, like, not. Like, I gotta know, season 4, his final appearance is, like, him just looking at those two fake IDs in a safe, and you're like, oh, what are those? And then he's not in the rest of the season. Season 5, I guess, was close. Like, he's integral to the final scene of the season, but then they did it again here. He's out, and I don't know if his dad is going to play a big part going forward. I expect maybe, but yeah, man, that was hard to watch. I rewatched the gunshot to the head. It kind of, I think it might look bad, but I couldn't tell because it's pretty quick.
I didn't look at it. No, yeah, I'm not going to look at it close. If I have the opportunity,
Did you watch it the first time?
Fall down. I knew it was about to happen. I see him fall down. I just look immediately after.
I did not. When he had the gun to Bolsa's head, I did not see that coming, him killing himself.
Really?
I thought maybe he'd run. I mean, looking back, yeah, that's kind of like the obvious thing to happen. But at the time, I was totally, they had me eating at the palm of their hand.
Even though they had said, like, Victor's going to kill you. Mike is there to make sure you die no matter what. Like, you just thought he would somehow be able to get out of it.
I thought maybe.
I guess the thing with the glass, definitely, I was like, what in the fuck, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't expect. I don't know.
What do you mean you didn't expect? Like,
I didn't. It was a nice little misdirect that he gave it a little fighting chance. Like,
yeah,
he went out without cowering with his hands behind his back, you know.
It was cool to me also, like, so last episode, I think we talked about it briefly, Gus knocks over that glass.
Yeah.
And they do shit like, and like, it's like, oh, this is symbolic. Gus, who's, like, always so calm and collected, is kind of losing it, but, like, Gus having, like, an outburst isn't gonna happen. So
yeah,
we see it in little moments like this. They kind of did it last season with him torturing Lyle while the dead drops are getting raided. And so you thought, oh, this show does that shit all the time. That's just like some character thing. And then they kind of used it for an actual, I guess, plot device. And I thought that was pretty cool. You don't expect that.
It's so strange the amount of suicides on this show and Breaking Bad. I mean, at least three.
I was thinking there. What other suicides are there?
Well, Chuck and the German guy, the president of the company.
I wouldn't call that a suicide. I'd call that a resignate. Like, he couldn't have gotten away. But go on. Sorry.
I don't know. How do you mean? I mean, they weren't going to shoot him dead. It wasn't like he had no choice. He could go to jail.
I thought you were talking about Werner.
No. I meant in Breaking Bad when puts the electrode in his mouth.
Of suicides in their show. Now that you point him out to me,
and it feels like, I mean, in the very first episode of Breaking Bad, Walt almost kills himself, right? And he puts a gun to his own head.
Right, he does do
so
that.
So there's definitely a little bit of a like do or die to every character in this show. Everybody's just kind of on fucking edge.
Yeah,
you know. And actually, even kind of Jesse was like, kill me. And then they just go and kill Andrea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just something I was thinking about.
No, that makes sense. I never noticed that. And also, one of my theories was Howard was going to kill himself this season.
I was texting you about this, but I think that Howard is the most morally center, like, good character. I think that the only thing that he has is his pride, but even that is something he's trying to keep in check. And I think like Jimmy will kind of prod him too much, and his pride is what's gonna get him accidentally killed. He's gonna probably get him somehow involved with a retaliation without like he's just gonna be wrong place wrong time killed. Yeah, I think
he's gonna be in that boxing ring.
Yeah, actually, Jimmy's gonna fucking accidentally kill him, like the Russian guy in the ring.
Yeah, they're gonna steal the beginning of Rocky IV.
Yeah.
Yeah. But damn, Nacho died. I was.
Should we do it justice? Should we go through it? You think?
Yeah, let's go through it. No, I figured, you know, top line item.
Yeah, big. You gotta kind of just address all of it.
You can't be like, okay, we know something happens, but all right, cold open. Here we are. Like you gotta give the people what they want. And that's what they're here for.
They want to hear us talk about that.
A lot of people wanted to hear that 13 minutes, minus the 4, where we're bullshitting, talking about being horny, and hear what we think about it. And now you know. Now you know. And knowing's half the battle. Yeah, we're still horny. This is one of the best directed episodes I have ever seen, personally, I thought. And it was like only a second time director of anything.
Really?
It was a guy who's written on both shows a lot, but he had not directed something. And I think this cold open, I loved so much. The fact that there's no music, no dialogue. And it was
Write the episode?
He wrote the episode too. Oh, and it was shot on a soundstage, that cold open.
That cold open was shot on a soundstage?
All the stuff on the ground. So, like, the clouds and everything was green screened in.
Yeah.
But they had, like, a rain. I listened to there's a Better Call Saul Insider podcast, which is so much better than this podcast, you guys. Because you get Vince and Pete, and they had Michael Mando on it today, and it's great. Because they needed, like, a rain machine. Yes. And so they needed the rain to hit that piece of glass in such a way that it was buried and slowly became unburied.
Does that mean that Nacho is in a shallow grave?
I assume they took him elsewhere, and I assume they maybe like desecrated his corpse quite a bit more than what we saw.
Oh God, that out of everything, I'm not joking, that actually disturbed me the most.
That disturbed me a little bit.
Yeah, to see his to see his foot twitch every time, even though he's dead, after every shot that rang out, I was like, this is so upsetting.
Yeah.
those fucking Salamancas. I almost posted on Facebook those crazy fucking Salamancas because I am on that still now. Like, just the concept of them trouble me so much.
Well, Gus got rid of all of them.
He did. And seemingly may get rid of the king shit Salamanca as well.
He got rid of so many Salamancas that the show was like, well, shit, we got to do Nazis. That's the only thing. That's the next logical step.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so we have this cold open. We know now it's a flash forward, but Jesus Christ, starts like storm clouds. Okay, we know a storm's coming. Fans down. Ooh, we see a flower, rebirth, and then rain on a piece of glass. What could it mean?
I
don't know.
I had thought that it was something Nacho was going to grab, like it was unearthed at the right time. Like, that was where my mind went when I saw it. Like, oh, thank God for this here storm.
I saw a YouTube video about this, and then this cold open reminded me about it. Like, I don't know any show, maybe there's some, like, art films that do so much with just, like, scenes with objects where there's no dialogue and honestly no people doing stuff. Just, like, I don't know. We got this. We got the beginning, which with the bottle capper just, like, falling out of the truck.
Yeah.
We have, I don't know, the Breaking Bad season 4 finale where it's just in Walt's backyard and the camera slowly pans over to the Lily of the Valley.
Yeah.
This is the most like artsy me and you've gotten on this. This is great.
You know, it's so interesting too. It's just some good fucking writing. I use a device a lot that I use in my real life a lot when writing, which is like, I have my characters talk to themselves because in almost all moments when I'm alone, I talk to myself to like get myself out of a stressful situation. But then other people are like, why would this character talk to themselves with no one around? And, you know, to me, it's natural, but I guess it's not normal. So I don't know. To think about how they do it is interesting.
You didn't watch Dexter, did you?
No.
Yeah. Like they, God, they do, like, so some of the, all the stuff they do, there's some YouTube video that I'm, like, stealing this, like, whole cloth from, but Dexter has an internal monologue on the show, and it became a huge crutch for the writers.
Yeah.
So, like, remember, I guess in Breaking Bad, remember when Jesse figured out the scam that Saul pulled on him and freaked out? Like, if that was Dexter, you would have heard an inner monologue, they'd be like, oh my God, the cigarette. Huel swiped it out. He must have done it before. Like that's how bad it got on that show. And they do so much in the show without a single word. And I think it's really cool. And Meg, I think it's a good show.
Wait, I wanted to say that just really quick. Dexter, that's a plot device they used in the show You. And I guess it's just a serial killer show plot device because that's exactly what Joel
it
does.
In Dexter, it was like kind of quirky for the first 3 or 4 seasons. And then it became wretched. Going for how much they used it.
I mean, that was the thing of like, I think there were some parts of it where you would otherwise just be watching, like in the first season, you'd otherwise just be watching Joe, like, go and Google search people and look at people's social media and it would just be silent. So like it made sense that he'd be kind of talking through his thought process on like how he cyber stalked his victims, but he didn't view them as victims. And then, by season 3, it was just like, it was exactly what you said. It was just, you know, a way for them to move the story along instead of, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. After the theme song, we get the Nacho drove away. Okay, we get the oil stuff, the cool oil stuff, which...
Oh, my God. How...
Oh, my God. Ugh. And then I also, this is going to be an annoying thing for the listener every week where I launder the information from the Better Call Saul Insider podcast, and you're all going to have to deal with it. I remember my brother hated when we were growing up, and because remember when he bought DVDs, he had a second disc with special features?
Oh, sure.
I would always watch the shit out of those, and then when I watched the movie, I'd be like, so when they shot this, they had a soundstage, but they had never a soundstage below it. I don't know if you realize that, so it took them... 3 days. They filmed this scene 3 months after filming wrap. Did you know that? and everyone hated it.
You just got on everybody's fucking nerves.
Oh yeah. I learned all about the cool way they did this. I don't know. Listen to that podcast. But that was cool. There wasn't a word of dialogue until 9 minutes into the episode.
Oh, because he was just fleeing.
He was just fleeing and hiding in oil and that shot where that's another thing. It's so well directed where he goes down and you wait until the oil completely settles and then the twin's head pops in.
I don't know how like viscous oil is, like if it would seep into your nose and like you'd have to get some in your mouth. I can't swim a single lap without getting like water all in my mouth. Like that would be so hard.
If you're not, I guess like it fuck up your skin for sure.
Yeah.
But if you're not swimming and you're just like dead set on just covering your holes, maybe it would. Yeah.
It's just so, well, but like even in the moment where you're covered and you have to open up your orifices, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. Gets in your ears.
Yeah, gets in your ears, gets, you know, gets everywhere. So we see Nacho fleeing. He climbs into the oil truck. He goes under the oil. The twins, they're going to fucking find this guy. The fact that the one twin stayed that long and even was suspicious, like, would you ever have guessed that a person would hide in a bunch of icky oil?
That's called good TV is all that is. I don't like how, like, these twins are made out to be superhuman because they were in Breaking Bad for, like, six total episodes. And they, their one physical confrontation with a main character, they went out quickly.
Yeah, one was killed immediately, like, the other one.
They are not immune to bullets. They make it seem like they are. Like, they have plot armor on Better Call Saul because you know they can't die.
Yeah.
But still, they're like, they're two dudes.
Yeah, they're not, they don't seem particularly smart or, like, shrewd either. They seem very much like they bulldoze situations.
Yeah,
like,
they seem extra lucky.
On the, like, spectrum of Taco to Lalo, they're much more, Tuco to Lalo, they're much more like Tuco than Lalo, right? Like, you know. So, yeah, I agree. Like, the fact that they seem to have these killer instincts doesn't always align, because you're right, we see them only get their ass kicked.
I might be making this up, and this might, I thought I read somewhere that they were introduced in season 3 of Breaking Bad, and they actually got killed off a little quicker than intended because, like, audiences didn't like them because they didn't fit in with, like, kind of the realism of the show because they were so pulpy.
You mean, like, they were just so, like...
Like, they were, like, comic book characters.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And no one else in that show is. They're in this show a lot.
I mean, if they just gave him a bout of diarrhea, we would have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I like him more in this show, to be perfectly honest, than I did in Breaking Bad. Because they seemed so threatening in Breaking Bad. And like I said, they go out like a couple of bitches.
Yeah.
And then in this, I don't know, we see him, like, gun out a compound and, I don't know, shoot people in the face. The cute mechanic.
Oh, why? Lest
we forget, bless the heart of this cute mechanic.
Just that nice guy.
Who I genuinely thought was like, oh no, he's a Salamanca and we just don't know it. Nope. Other foot's going to drop. He's going to call.
I mean,
they're going to show up.
There was some part of that, but then there was also like, it's nice that it's nice that Nacho has a friend. Like, it was the kindness that, like, I guess in an episode fill of just the feeling of like, oh God. It was nice to see a little relief. But then Nacho takes a moment to call his dad, and his dad's like, what the fuck do you want?
Yeah. Oh God, give Nacho a fucking Emmy finally for just that scene. Just that scene.
Yeah, this is his Emmy, right? This is his Emmy women.
That scene with his dad? Episode. Either that scene with his dad or the scene at the end. Or I guess you submit an episode, so
yeah,
this whole episode.
Yeah.
Is like the Nacho movie. Yeah, oh God, he's cleaning himself. There was a theory I read online. No way, it's true. It's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. that, first of all, how have we not talked about this? We finally get to see Nacho fully shirtless, and it is a delight.
Yeah, he's got good chest.
This is the best body we've seen on Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Marvel man.
Yeah.
He's in Marvel movies.
He is.
Was he ever like a full-on villain, or did he just kind of show up?
He just showed up. I think they I'm not sure. I think they were intending to do more with him, and I don't know what happened.
They didn't. But remember when he was trying to get Tuco killed, and he was telling Mike how he got a piece of skull stuck in his shoulder?
Yeah.
Some eagle-eyed viewer zoomed in, and that like piece of skull wasn't in his shoulder for this shot. And they're like, Nacho got a body double, and that this isn't the real Nacho. It's some real horse shit. I read that online, and I this podcast is nothing if not comprehensive. I have to report everything. That dad, yeah, that conversation with the dad was so good.
Yeah, I mean, it's you sit there and it's like you want the dad to be a little bit more solicitous, but then you realize that like there's nothing Nacho can say to his dad that won't get him killed. So he has to just have his dad be in a little bit of a shitty mood at him.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks.
I love his dad just thinks it's a check and call. Like he's like, yeah, I got shit to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Go to police. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you had any idea.
So then he calls Mike, which we saw the other phone call last time, and he does some good fucking acting here too, talking to Gus. This is like the most small I think anyone's ever made Gus feel, which is cool. We never.
Yeah. Again, like to imagine a situation, like I get so mad just about whatever the fuck, to imagine a situation where you could be set up by Gus and basically, you know, keep your cool while like, you son of a bitch. Like, and that's all you say really in retaliation is it's insane, you know?
Yeah. And he's like, well, do what you fucking say. Just don't like guys, just don't kill my dad.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get you to not kill my dad for years. Stop trying to kill my dad. He's so nice.
I definitely had the reoccurring thought throughout the all three episodes this season so far of like, boy, I bet Nacho wishes he was just fucking with Colin Robinson's baseball card collection again.
Yeah, that's so weird. Like, he is in like two main parts. I mean, he's in more than that two episodes, but two main parts of season one. And it is just kind of trying to rob the Kettlemans and stealing or dealing drugs on the side. Like, it's so weird now. And he's
and not even
like,
drugs, just pills, right?
Yeah. Like, and you're like, that's like, I don't know where he like turned good, like, and he became like the moral center of the show, but it happened somewhere.
Yeah. You know, it's strange to think that like he really was just kind of like an antagonistic presence and also like a low level criminal.
Yeah. He was a henchman. He was like, there's so many henchmen on the show. He's just one we decided to pay attention to.
I guess it was when... I don't really know. I guess wait, I can't really say. Like, why did Tuco end up in jail again? Oh, because he punched Mike. And the only reason he got... So is it when he was like, hey, you got to get... Mike, you've got to get Tuco out of the picture because he's going to fucking kill me. And then all of a sudden... Yeah, I guess that's when he became the moral center of the show. Mm-hmm. That's bizarre.
Yeah, he wanted to... and I forget why he wanted to do it to Tuco. It kind of came out of nowhere now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, I mean, I guess because he was back on meth and meth made him kill that other guy, which gave him this piece of skull in his head, right?
Yeah.
And then, see, that this is the problem I had with Breaking Bad. I still have a hard time tracking the storylines, like why everything happened, because it's they're pretty, you know, they deal in a lot of minutiae sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Anyhow. And it all is like you had said initially, it's such a well-written series, both of these, that like everything has a purpose almost, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. They really, they use everything. It's like, I don't know. When I was watching season two of Breaking Bad originally, I just thought like, and then season four, no way I ever in my wildest dreams thought Hector Salamanca would come back. I thought he was just
really?
This one-off like, oh, that's a kind of quirk. They wrote an old man in a wheelchair lives in this house, and that's all we see of him. And then now he's like, I don't know, probably like the B team in terms of main characters on this both shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not like a main character, but he's definitely one of like, if not the biggest side character.
Yeah.
Okay. He leaves all his money for the mechanic because he knows money is no use in heaven.
Yeah, and he also understands the stack of American money and pesos is probably, you know, gonna get that guy far. And and as you said, he knows he's also gonna be smuggled back into America in the bottom of a frozen food truck.
I really hope the series finale ends. Something big's happened. I don't know what. Maybe Jimmy dies, like, post-Breaking Bad. Who knows? Fade to black. Credits. Post-credits scene. We're on a beach, and this mechanic's sitting there with a pina colada in his hand and is just like, another, please! And he's just living his best life at the beach.
With oil-soaked money.
Yeah. we finally, 18 minutes in, get to Jim and Kimmy. Sorry, Kim and Jimmy?
Yeah.
I've been saying that a lot. I've been saying Jimmy and Kimmy.
I do that all the time just with life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah. what is
a whole bunch of post-it notes.
Oh yeah, they're hiding their plan, their audacious plan, on the back of a painting,
which we don't really know what it is. But
we do know that Namaste is central to this plan.
Yes, the car. One thing, it's, I don't know, on this show and Breaking Bad, is if you ever find out what the plan is ahead of time, plan's not going to go as planned. But if you ever get dropped into a scam, like the country club or like the thing with Huel,
yeah,
and you don't know what the goal is, plan's going to go as planned. Mm-hmm. You just don't know yet. But this one's weird. We see a lot of them planning a plan, but we don't know what the plan is. So I don't know where this one's going to go. It's a big plan.
It seems like it has the potential to go haywire because there's too many moving parts.
All the mini bits, like the country club scam, we didn't know what was going on, went off without a hitch. That went good.
Same with the Kettleman's, kind of.
Yeah, same with the Kettleman's, same with this car key thing.
Yes.
Because we didn't really know what was going on. It's going to get hitched. I do think the grand plan will get fucked up somehow.
And we'll get Howard probably killed.
Be Howard probably killed.
I'm calling it here that Jimmy gets... They wouldn't have called out the fact that 4 unlocks a car and 5 locks it unless that's going to be a problem later, I feel like. They made a point with this key car copy clunky key thing, mm-hmm, to...
Looks so stupid.
Yeah, to call out that. And I was like, why would they even bother saying it?
Yeah.
With that specificity. Knowing them, just because it's so well written, they never like call out details unless they use them generally.
Yeah. No, I have no idea where that's going to go. But at the court... Oh, yeah, she kisses Jimmy real hard.
Good for them.
She like pulls him by the tie. I want them to say I love you just one time.
I hope he like gives her a gross wink after he says like, I love you, babe.
Love ya.
Yeah, and like does like a that.
We're making fun winks, you guys. You
just
can't
trust
see it.
Us.
At the courthouse, Kim and the DA chit-chat. And
what's
she's
her
like,
name again? I forget.
Her name is Suzanne Erickson.
Yep.
That's her name.
Yep. That,
that's been her name the whole time.
Every time I see her, I go, I'm pretty sure my skin's going to do that in
you do say that a lot.
Years.
Yeah.
I think I look like her. I'm
you
pretty
text
sure
it to me
I
a lot.
Like her.
Yep. I don't think so. I don't see it. But
at all? Okay. No. That's good to know. I feel like I have better hair. Her hair seems kind of unruly. Mine is naturally a little bit more ruly. But anyhow, it's so we get to the bottom of no, Howard is not building a case against Jimmy as though.
Oh, yeah, because that's how they
present.
They really, those fucking editors who edit the trailer.
I'm just getting warmed up.
I'm just getting warmed up. And you're like,
not,
whoa.
It's not Howard Hamlin. He doesn't seem to give two shits or a fuck.
He's living his best life. He's getting high on cocaine.
Yeah.
What or at least that's what I heard.
What if this is how that starts? He's like, yeah, Howard actually developed a terrible coke addict and he had a heart attack. He died.
What they're basically saying in this scene is, so Jorge de Guzman, we think it's this guy Lalo. Lalo, if you hadn't heard, died in a big shootout at the gun factory. And... if Jimmy knew it was Lalo and lied about it, that's a problem for Jimmy. But if he didn't know, he could maybe talk to us and help us out.
If there was one thing I went like, oh, I hope Jimmy doesn't do this, it's because when she's like, I promised there'd be no blowback for Jimmy. And I was like, you can't promise that. You're talking out of school, you know?
Yeah. And then Kim's like, didn't you call him a scumbag? Oh, and she's like, his name's Saul, you fucking idiot.
You dink?
Yeah, what a dipshit. Oh, hey, Pam. Yeah, your name's not Pam, stupid. I'm not going to call you the wrong name.
I didn't find any of this storyline remotely interesting.
Oh, well, no.
I mean, did you? Were you like, oh boy, shit's going bad for Jimmy? The DA's
no,
on him.
I was just like, okay, like obviously this is the Nacho episode, but they had some stuff they needed to set so that presumably other episodes are more exciting because they don't have to deal with this.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, probably necessary. I'm fine with it. Everyone acts so good, so I like it.
Okay, there you go.
I liked it. Yeah, I loved the car key part. Which
key part.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah. I mean, you love a scam.
I like it. There's a level of whimsy to these Jimmy McGill scams that, that I just
literally said it's got Huel's name written all over it.
Yeah. He'll be practically invisible. And Kim I'm goes, excited. How?
Kim is scaring me.
Why?
Because she's like, we'll get to it, but she's like, well, do you want to be a friend of the cartel or a fucking rat? And I'm like, holy shit. Like, I can't, Kim, who I famously very pro Kim, maybe to a fault, is like, yeah, we'll see where it goes, but I feel like she's gone so far that I do kind of want Jimmy to rein her in a little bit and be like, whoa, dude.
Because like, she seems like she's kind of bossing him around now. Like,
she just seems like so, like, I don't know, for five seasons, I get, like, it's kind of cool. We got little breadcrumbs that, like, oh, she kind of likes these scams. She gets off on these scams. And now she's, like, really into it. And
it's weird to see the union of, like, type A and tightly wound and stern almost to a point where you're not sure how personable she is. And, like, also wanting to do something like scamming. It seems like that's a dangerous combination.
I mean, she loves her pro bono work, and she thinks, like, she thinks this is all to a good end. I guess I just, like, with the Howard stuff, I'm like, well, I just want to figure out what they're doing so, like, I can, like, justify, like, in my head her behavior. But with the cartel stuff, like, I don't know. I think maybe when she, like, talked down Lalo, she's like, I'm fucking hard. Like, I'm a hard fuck. Like,
or just people smarter don't fuck than with me. Everybody, you know?
Yeah, and so she's like, don't be a fucking rat. I'm not a fucking rat.
Yeah.
And I told Lalo to get the fuck out of my apartment.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe, but that was the only, like, I think in retrospect that scene maybe will be great, but that, like, and we're not even there yet, but that was made me be like, I don't know if I like this version of Kim.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I like the Kim on, and maybe this is because I'm a man. I like the version of Kim who Jimmy freaks out on her in the parking lot, and she's like, kind of puts him in his place, and then they get home and they're arguing, and she's like, do you still want to be a lawyer? Well, let's start with that. And I don't know. Maybe I just thought, maybe the problem, sorry, I'm talking a lot.
I was just trying to place that scene. Are you talking about the time where she's like, Jimmy, you are always down?
I was like, maybe I have seen Kim as a security blanket for 6 years, and now finally I'm like, she's not anymore, and I miss it.
You know, I think I kind of had always felt like Jimmy walked all over her. So maybe I kind of appreciate her taking the reins a little bit more. I don't know that it's like good things. I know it's not good things she's doing, but you know, it's nice. And even if she's angling towards Howard, it's nice to see her calling the shots in a bigger way because I think that was like, I would constantly say, like, their relationship seems toxic because Jimmy kind of got to do whatever he wanted, and she would just put herself in, like, well, maybe we should get married so you can't fuck me over, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I like when she calls the shots, but I think I just like it in another context. Like, I loved when she, like, saved him from Lalo just by using reason.
Yeah.
And I loved, when she concocted the Huel scam just because it was a better way to get out of that situation. It was a better scam. And maybe, I guess she's just better at scamming.
It's just like a level of intelligence behind it that hadn't been introduced yet, and she would do well to start a pyramid scheme or something.
I guess I just have no idea where they're going with her, and I'm like, and I just don't know how to feel about it. I do want to shoot my shot now. I was thinking about this earlier.
Okay.
My theory, my prediction for the end of the show, and this could change episode to episode, is, because everyone's like, what happens to Kim? Blah, 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 blah. My theory right now, and I want on the record, I'm holding today's newspaper. You can't see it because this is an audio medium. is that Jimmy will be the one responsible for Kim either going to jail or getting disbarred. And it will be tragic, and and it'll kind of stunt him emotionally and turn him into the Saul Goodman lawyer we see in Breaking Bad.
I counter that. I think that Kim is going to come to her senses. I think she's going to hand him.
I would love that. I would love that.
I think she's going to say, this has gone too far. I think she's going to be, there is a part of me that thinks she's going to move on from him into much bigger and better things.
I thought that all the way up until this season.
And now you think she's just
now that she's saying shit like, do you want to be a rat? I'm like, nope. Something's going to happen with her. Because I thought we were finally getting there in season 5 until she was like, or we get married. Like, right up until there.
Yeah.
I was like, and then there's a lot of theories out there that she was married to him during Breaking Bad and we just never saw her.
Yeah, that's impossible. He did have that box of Viagra, and we do know they love to fuck, but...
He loves to fuck, and he would have no reason to introduce her to Walter.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. This is a good episode.
I still think that, in my heart of hearts, I really want him to get dragged back to Albuquerque and her to be the DA who has to prosecute him. Like, I want to see that.
That's a good ending, too. I like that a lot.
I just see, like, her handing him the tequila bottle cap as a, like, you're on your own, I can't do this anymore, and like hanging up her own shingle or making some type of progress, and and them going different ways, either her in Omaha like you had said, or him getting dragged back kicking and screaming to face what he left in Albuquerque.
I want that to happen for me. I just think he needs to be the reason for her to have some sort of downfall, and it needs to be a choice. It can't be it by accident, or else it doesn't make as much emotional sense.
And it also kind of invalidates Kim's intelligence to her blunder. Yeah.
It has to be a choice, and it wrecks him emotionally so much more than Chuck dying that he becomes this weird billboard lawyer who talks about Francesca's ass. And
I mean, there is a part of it that, what if she scams him so good he like is, I don't know.
Oh, what if he's the mark? Oh, that's another good way they could take it. Fuck. I have no idea. Walt should have been the bad guy of season 5. Sorry, I'm on my high horse about that. Anyway.
how would that have worked?
He should have been the main guy that everyone goes after. Like, the machine gun should have hit him.
But how?
He shouldn't have been. They would have had to write a completely different last 3 episodes. He shouldn't have been a hero. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. Fair.
Mm-hmm. I love that show, guys. Shut the fuck up, all 20 of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my god. Yeah. It's a good episode.
Yes.
Nacho. I do like how they skipped all the bullshit, and then after this. So the scene we were on when we started skipping all over was Kim just in the DA's office. And then next scene is at the chicken farm, and Mike has a truck and pulls Nacho out of a secret compartment.
Yeah.
And we skipped all the bullshit. I loved that.
Yeah, it was. That was good. I wanted to say that I think this is the point where, is this where we see Nacho like in the basement and he's eating and
he's having his last meal. Yeah.
My thing I'm passionate about is like, I really wanted him to have a better last meal, and I can't shake that. I can't like get over it. I wish they would have bought him 48 more hours and let him go to Disneyland. Like, yeah. I wanted him to have a better send off. Like,
I would have had like the Bacon King from Burger King. It's my favorite sandwich they have there. He might be one of those people, one of these freaks, because look at his body.
Oh,
he's great.
True, yeah.
Have you ever seen these athletes, these freaks, and they're like, man, I just love veggies. It's my favorite snack.
He's using plastic silverware. I can't imagine that's what he wanted.
Like, but I think he's one of those people who's like, dude, grilled chicken breast, it's my favorite. It's my favorite.
I want it from shopping mall food court. I don't know. Like,
I think, yeah, someone on the podcast was saying it's they had to give him plastic forks because he couldn't use it as a weapon.
Oh no, that makes sense too. Yeah. At that point, just make him eat with his hands.
Yeah, and this is the first scene that I had like all that dread that we were talking about, because he's like, when tomorrow, and then Victor's like, he looks too pretty. And then I don't know if you did you realize this was a callback when Nacho says, gotta make it look real?
No, when was that too?
When Tyrus and Victor are fake shooting Nacho in season 4.
Oh, yeah.
Tyrus
okay,
says, gotta
that.
Make it look real.
Yeah.
But he gets him drunk so that when he beats him up, it doesn't hurt as much.
I hated the smirk on Victor's face when he says, oh, God.
It's I was like, I want Victor to die.
Yeah, it's like, can someone slit that guy's fucking throat? With a box cutter, no less.
That'd be so fucking good.
He kind of deserves it.
He does.
For being like a smarmy asshole. Yeah, I legitimately brought that up several times today. That, like, it just wasn't a good last meal to many different people. Like, I just, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I don't know if he chose that or if... I wish we, they probably should have had a scene where he's like, what do you want? Grilled chicken, broccoli, potatoes.
I want to feel light while I'm dying. I want to have a regular BM tonight. Have we done the car key scene?
That's the next scene. Okay. Yeah. I mean, we've already talked about
it.
They steal Howard's car and copy it.
I want to call out that Howard Hamlin said, ask the like dorky little valet boy, you know, how his grades were and seemed to give a shit, you know, and I don't know. I thought that was sweet.
Howard's a good guy. I have been won over. yeah.
We've watched the same show. And I guess I just rallied hard. He's even more innocent than Skyler. Like, I don't think that he's done anything.
Skyler did crimes.
Yeah.
She broke the law. Like,
but I mean, morally, and it's like, yeah. I don't even really toy around with the like moral absolutes of laundering money or supporting Walter's drug ring. Like, just in terms of like, he doesn't toy with people the way Skylar just kind of had a passive aggressive streak to her. Mm-hmm. You know, he seems to work on himself and try to do better. That's all.
Wow. Feel like I'm on a men's rights Reddit thread, all this Skylar bashing.
Oh no.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, and this is another one. This is so well directed. This is a cool, all right, this is the last time I'm gonna reference like how this was made. But I love the shot so much where they juxtaposed the kid running down the stairs.
Yeah, that was great. With
it. So apparently that wasn't even planned. That was done in the editing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that was all Legos or something like that.
No, they just like shot it. And then the editor was like, I got an idea.
Oh, my gosh.
Did that. And he was like, does this look good? And they're like, son, you got a career in this business.
We really shouldn't have taken you right out of film school and straight into the editing bay at Better Call Saul. But I think you're onto something. Yeah.
So this scene's cool. We talked about it. But the coolest part of this is... he will ask Saul what I have been asking about Gus for like 2 years now, which is, why are you doing all this? You make a lot of money.
Yeah, you make good money. She makes good money. I mean, I think maybe there's enough people saying the same shit we're saying that is just like, hey, none of this adds up unless this is like a very specific kink.
For Jimmy and Kim, I get it a little more because she wants to do complete pro bono work and needs a nest egg to do that.
Yeah.
And Jimmy does have a kink. but for Gus, I don't get it. Just franchise. If it was a shitty chicken franchise, I would get it. But like, people love what you're doing.
Every character introduced to Gus compliments him on his chicken.
It's the first thing.
Yeah. And back the cartel was like, you do one thing really well and it's chicken. Please stop it with the meth because you know chicken so great. And he's like, I'm more chicken. Than chicken.
Yeah. He's like, oh no.
I am not chicken.
Not chicken. Yeah, then they have that scene that we already kind of talked about where Jimmy finds out Lalo is quote unquote dead.
Yes.
Because they think he is. And Kim tells her about Erickson's deal, and he's like, should I do it? And she's like, well, do you want to be a friend of the cartel, or do you want to be a rat? And the only reason this, like, rubbed me wrong, I think, is because, and I guess they're echoing this, because last season she goes, do you want to be a friend of the cartel?
Yeah.
And now she's like, sounds pretty nice.
But also, like, my man doesn't turn on anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. Or what do they roll over? What do they call it besides being a rat? I don't know.
A patsy? No, patsy. Nacho's being a patsy.
In the very worst way. Like, I guess it's called rolling on someone. Is that earned? Because in just a few days ago, canonically, she was like, do you want to be a friend of the cartel? And now it's not even a week later and she's like, you're not a fucking rat. Like, does that shift feel justified?
I think more time has passed now than we realize. I think, I mean,
Really?
Because it's hard to tell. Yeah, I think, I feel like...
How long was Nacho on a run for? Christ.
Yeah, I feel like the time between the mechanics and him getting on that truck might have been more time. I guess not. I have no fucking clue.
It wasn't like months, you know.
I guess that could have been just a couple days. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they'll address it. I think maybe she just really got her fucking rocks off giving Lalo the business.
Lalo, you called him.
Lalo, sorry.
See, it happens. Okay, so you got scared and you had to pause the television for a while, right? Because it frightened you so deeply.
It frightened
Kim.
Me so much. Yeah. I went, I hid under my bed.
Okay, yeah.
And I went, I live alone, but I kept yelling, is she gone?
Yeah. And then the specter from last week, and yeah, she's gone.
Yeah, yeah, a specter.
Yeah.
Great word for a ghost. Up there with a wraith. Mm-hmm. Good ghost words. Yes. Then we get this scene, another one. It's just they're like, everyone on set's reading the Green Mile, and they're like, "Hey, we know how we should structure this scene," with Nacho in the trailer. And this is where they explain the plan. So that means, you know, the plan's not going to go how the plan was supposed to go.
Oh, so true.
He's like, "I'm going to be zip tied. I'm going to run a Victor. Victor's going to shoot me, so I don't get tortured by the torture people." And also I work for Peru.
Yeah, for Alvarez, yeah. I guess.
This is the second time in the show where they've invented an outside drug outfit just to solve a problem with Nacho.
Yeah, it seems like they could have just used the same drug outfit to be like the remaining members in Peru of that thing we shot up.
Yeah.
You know.
Because that is still weird to me that, like, they shot up, they had a whole action scene, they shoot up this group, and we're like, who are they? We've never heard of them. I mean, they're gone now.
Yeah, that is one of the few examples of them just inventing.
Like, even something. Like a passing mention before that shootout would have made that go away.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
But Gus, yeah. And Mike's like, yeah, it'll be over quick. And then Mike tells Gus, can I be there? Can I watch? And I'll bring my little army man sniper rifle. My camo sniper rifle that I love.
Did he justify it by saying, like, you know, you're going to have coverage, like, in case something goes wrong? Or what did he say?
He says, you need me in case the plan goes south. I think he was ready to take out the Salamancas if need be.
I mean, life would sure have been a lot easier, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we know that the plan doesn't go that crazy bad.
No, I mean, it goes... the way it was supposed to go ish. I mean, oh yeah, Nacho sees the drinking glass in the trash can. Keep that in your noodle, audience.
I must have missed that, and I felt like a tool. That's all.
Wait, you what?
I missed that, and I felt like a tool is all.
Oh, so it was, if you rewatch it, you can't really tell. I rewound it when I watched it the first time.
Okay, he ran away. Never mind.
Classic boy.
Yeah.
We're almost done, kids.
Oh, here he is. Hi.
Hi.
What's up, Honey Pie?
I love you.
I love you too, Brock.
Aww.
Can you go take a bath, buddy?
That's what I was about to do.
Okay, thank you for listening.
His voice is getting deep.
Yeah, he's got a goatee now and everything.
He's like, I love you. I need to go take a bath.
Do you remember when you would come over for dinner and he would just fart and say weird non sequiturs?
Yeah, he used to not, like, I knew he had the ability to form sentences, but he chose not to.
Yeah, he just didn't want to engage in conversation with you, I think was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they bring, this long shot. He says, like, a goodbye to Mike with just a head nod.
Yeah.
That
sucks that he has to spend his last moments, like, of just anything with Tyrus, and like, how does that happen where you're just like having to sit next to that guy who's just like got a shitty little smile on, like, I guess I'll zip tie you now.
Yeah, god, Tyrus looks so fucking old.
Yeah, he does. He looks simultaneously old and in great shape.
He just looks very gaunt.
Yeah, I guess, like, that's it. Maybe he needs to get more hydrated. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he took keto too far.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they meet, there's this, it's very, like, I don't know, there are good deaths and bad deaths. We talked about this scene a lot.
Yeah.
We know all the way it happens. God. But oh, one thing that's kind of cool, I did not expect, I forgot about it, is And they did kind of rip themselves off a little bit, because this is almost the exact same thing as Walt telling Jesse that he killed Jane.
Yeah.
Is Nacho telling Hector he's the one who gave him the pills.
Yeah.
Or, like, it put him in the wheelchair. That was cool, though, how they did it.
Yeah, when you're sucking Jell-O every day for the rest of your life. Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. He, like, Gus's original plan was, like, okay. It's just like, I work for the Peruvians. Off I go.
Yeah.
But this way... He's like, you think he did it? Fuck you. I tried to kill you and he saved your life. I hate him. Which is, you know, good for him.
Yeah.
And then they shoot a dead body a bunch.
Like I said, like every little tiny jerk of his foot. I don't know, man. That was such a disturbing detail that they've cooked up for these characters. It really did trouble me.
Yeah. I'm reading some of the trivia right now. None of this is very good. Oh. Wow. We found a mistake.
What's the mistake?
Wow. So, Fred Whalen, who's the guy who died at Travel Wire?
Yeah.
The DA says that he was...
22, right? Yeah.
But apparently on his license, he's 26. So I can't watch this show anymore.
Maybe he just had a fake ID just because.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah.
Renting cars and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, he wanted to rent cars. Okay. Meg, what grade would you give this episode?
I guess this is an A, you know?
You think? All right, now, Meg, do you want to give it an A, or are you giving it an A because you know I'm going to give it an A?
I mean, the acting was superb, right?
Yeah, the acting's so good.
I guess I can't just by virtue of the fact that Howard isn't in an episode ding it for being not including Howard.
He's in it.
Just not very much. It's not a Howard heavy episode.
Yeah. He asked the kid about his grades. That's so cute.
It's sweet. There's no way I can give this anything less than an A.
Yeah. Okay.
There's just no way. You can't take out. I'm blown away that it happened in the first three episodes that this episode happened. But then again, how could he just be running for much longer, right?
Yeah. That would have gotten. I was getting pretty bored with it already in episode two, so I'm kind of glad they ended it.
That was my fear in season five when they were in the desert. I was like, I don't want this to be a desert show. Like, I can only do one episode of this.
Oh, and then they ended that episode with them still being in the desert, and I was like, oh, this just happens now.
I do want to dock points that they didn't have a high-end prostitute in the basement ready to fuck Nacho.
Yeah, he should have gotten fucked one more time. Also, he seemed to not care about his two girlfriends.
Yeah, I mean, I think those women knew that it was going to end like that one day. I think everybody must have understood that that wasn't a sustainable setup, right?
I feel like, so in my headcanon, they... like just kind of like hung out because he had money and like gave them drugs, but like he actually really liked them and thought they liked him back.
Oh, so he had like crushes on both of them.
He had really big crushes on both of them.
Oh, that would be sweet.
And they were a thruple, and he took it really seriously and thought they were in love.
Oh, in my head, after they leave, they take classes at a local community college and eventually end up getting degrees in electrical engineering, and they do it together. Yeah,
I hope they do.
Yeah.
Aww. And they invented Ring,
the camera, you know.
Yeah, they invented Ring later on,
because that would have helped in a lot of situations for
it
them.
Would have helped them if the Ring was around.
Oh my god. Yeah. I like
my
that
my brother used to work for Ring.
I'm sorry,
my brother used to work for Ring
and now he's a doctor.
I don't have a brother who's a doctor. What?
Oh, could have sworn you did.
I have a sister-in-law who's a doctor.
Oh, good.
My friend Austin's a doctor.
Oh.
My girlfriend's a nurse.
Oh.
What do you think Kimberly Potts at the AV Club gave it?
I think she probably gave this an A.
You nailed it, Meg. She gave it an A. No one's not going to give this one an A. Come on.
Yeah. I think there's
Come on.
Like,
I'd give it an A plus.
It feels like if I even attempted to say anything less than an A, I would be just acting as a contrarian, like without any substance.
One could make the argument of an A minus because the Jim and Kimmy stuff is kind of blah.
Yeah, but it is pretty vanilla.
I don't think it's bad. I think it's a little blah.
Okay.
Because I have cared about them thus far. It's just this episode. It's like, okay, stuff that's going to matter later.
Yes.
That I maybe, like, when I'm watching this all on Netflix, that'll just be like, yeah, they had to do that.
Oh, I think we had kind of had this conversation over text, but I really do think Lalo has to die. I think I equated Lalo to this series as Nazis, but like, and Final Boss, just like more well-rounded and
yeah. Way better. They did Jack the Nazi much better with Lalo.
But you feel that that's not the case. You think he's going to live forever?
No, I don't think I think it'd be cool if he lived. I think because the obvious thing is for him to die.
Yeah.
So, you know. And obviously, that's not a good reason for him to not die. Is just because, well, they're expecting him to die. Therefore, he must not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it'd be cool if he got away. And I think if he does die, it'll be like a death where not everyone knows, or else Jimmy wouldn't be scared of him in the beginning of Breaking Bad.
But that must also be true of Nacho.
Yeah, he must. Somehow Jimmy's got to find out that Nacho was because he doesn't know Nacho was responsible for the assassination, or like.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Yeah. He just knows that an assassination went down. He thinks Mike's responsible.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Oh, yeah. Good point, because Mike is the one who told him about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a few days ago. Yeah.
And he thinks Francesca's got a great ass. I'm never going to let that go. That's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That he was constantly. And why does Francesca feel like she can't go, that she's so unemployable she can't go anywhere else? Because she had a job for a long time at the Department of Motor Vehicles.
I'm very, very excited how they bring her back.
Because she seems to come back frantically from what we can tell.
She's in a little bit of the trailer where she's walking to his office, and there's a line of people out the door of potential. Yeah, I'm excited to get more into like his practice. We haven't really fucked with that at all.
That's got to be soon, right?
Yeah, because like a big part of the trailer is about that, where it's like, you're the guy, right?
Okay, that's tomorrow even. Yeah, Jesus. Or not tomorrow. I'm sorry. Next week. Silly bag.
We'll see, hopefully, where they're like, who's here to see Saul Goodman? And like a room full of people raise their hand. So I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
Did we act too serious on, or did I act too serious on this one? Like, I feel like I'm one of those, like, I don't know, people online who are like, and the camera work.
I don't think you acted too seriously. I don't know. Okay. I'm not sure what the bit will be that won't be an automatic spoiler, but that's a future me problem, not...
Yeah, we'll figure I don't know. We say horny a bunch. Not gonna do that.
Okay, horny.
Or talk about I don't know, talk about the key scam. That's not a spoiler. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah, we'll figure something out. All right, well, I guess, is there any other news to cover?
Nope. They're still fighting in Ukraine.
Oh, is that still happening? I'm sorry. That was totally insensitive, and I suck. I'm sorry.
I mean, I think mine is maybe more insensitive. yeah, no, it's still going on. It's rough. I hope they stop. Mm. What else is going on?
Ooh, I had a cough.
That Rudy Giuliani, he was on The Masked Singer. People didn't like that, especially Ken Jeong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised people are, I guess, just because it aired, but didn't we hear about it before? I don't know.
So, yeah, we knew about it, and then, like, there was reports about it because they'd filmed it, and there was an audience and people tweeting about it, but no one had seen it.
Ain't it quaint how when, you know, people who are generally viewed as, you know, left of center exercise their free speech, there's like a mass retaliation where it's like, used to be that if you didn't like someone's politics, you could put it aside. People are so sensitive these days. But then if there's like anybody else exercising free speech, it's their God-given right. And how dare you criticize it, you know?
What did you say a second ago at the beginning of that sentence? It's like, ain't it quaint?
Yeah.
That's the name of your next podcast.
Ain't It Quaint?
Yeah. Ain't It Quaint with Meg Ryan.
And what is it about?
It's you... this is actually... I would listen to this. You have experts on to describe how people used to do things in olden times.
And I just go, huh, ain't that quaint.
Like, they're like, eh, how did people make breakfast? And you'd be like, well... First, you would get up and you'd have to, like, use your chamber pot. And I don't know. Ain't that quaint?
Yeah.
Then you'd go to the loom.
Oh, yeah. You got a loom in the morning or else before breakfast, or else you'll be too bogged down by your heavy
pretty
breakfast.
Quaint.
Yes.
Yeah, so quaint. Free idea for you.
Thank you so much for deciding that for me.
Yeah. Go nuts. Go nuts. You know, you have all the tools now.
I do. Another gift you've given me. Thank you, Adam. So until next time, folks.
Until next time.
It's showtime, folks.
How just podcast.